In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Usually we study the life of the saints and we examine their lives, but today we're going to do something a little bit different. Not much different, a little bit different. We're going to study the life of the richest people in the world. So, who's the richest person in the entire world? Mr. Bill Gates, the founder of Microsoft. Nobody, I think, doesn't know what Microsoft is. Anyone who has a computer knows what Microsoft is. Biggest software company in the world. And he is the founder and the owner of this company. Made billions and billions and billions of dollars out of our pockets, out of the computers we get, whatever. But Mr. Gates is no longer working in Microsoft. I think he's going to open another huge company and get our money. That's not true. Mr. Gates decided to put all of his assets in an organization with his name and his wife's name. And this organization is called Bill and Melinda Gates. Actually, most of his assets went into this organization. I don't know why it's not clicking. Some people are playing in the back. Yes. So this is the organization. He puts most of his money there. And Mr. Gates, instead of going around the States to see his company and his assets, he spent more time in Africa. Mrs. Gates actually was in a Coptic hospital in Nairobi last year. Instead of going to parties here, she was going to Africa. Because when I tell you I'm going to Africa, you make fun of me. See? Mrs. Gates goes to Africa all the time, and Mr. Bill Gates. All right, so this is the first, the richest man in the entire world. You know who's the second? Guys, give me some access. I can't. Yeah, this is the second richest person in the world, Mr. Warren Buffett. Maybe you've heard about him in the last couple of weeks. Mr. Buffett has the fortune of $44 billion. A couple of weeks ago, he decided to give 85% of his fortune, not to his children, but to charity. And he actually joined the organization of the Gates, and he became one with them, or one of the people, and he donated more than $35 billion to charity. That actually was 2-3 weeks ago. We're living, this is history, this is part of history. This is the biggest donation ever made in the entire history. Okay, let's examine another person, someone maybe, something is wrong, I can't click. The third person is Mr. Bono. Mr. Bono is the rock star. And we're not going to listen any of his songs now. And he's part of the U2 team. So Mr. Bono also started an organization, not for music or anything, but Mr. Bono started an organization called DATA, basically to work on the debts and the affairs of Africa and to lobby. And I actually was in a meeting for AIDS last week, and I met with some people who work in DATA with him, and how him, and he takes some celebrities with him, and he go to Africa all the time to work with the sick people. Isn't that amazing? What's going on here in the world? Can you believe the richest people in the world are doing that? Well, when you think of Bill Gates and Bono and all these people, usually when you think about them, you think that these are the people that God is going to hang them from their necks when they go to heaven for all this money they have. I'm afraid not. Not I'm afraid. You know, I'm glad not. This is not what's going to happen. But basically, these people were like Zacchaeus, who had a lot of money. Maybe he cheated. Maybe he made a fortune out of whatever it is. But guess what Zacchaeus did in the end? What did Zacchaeus do with his fortune? He gave it all. So, I know that we're not as bad as Zacchaeus. And we don't have money at these people. But I'm afraid we're like the Pharisees. Watching these people, this is a sinner, this is a good person, this is a bad person, and so on. But we don't do anything about it. The commandment today, you know, today was the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus gave only one commandment today. Only one commandment. He said, you give them something to eat. In the entire sermon today, there's only one commandment, you give them something to eat. It was the responsibility of the disciples. Hey. Let's stop. That's it. No more. Don't want. So, it was the responsibility of the disciples and our responsibility to take care of these people. Jesus loved all the world. He loved every single human being who was born here on earth. That's why he created them. With all colors, all religions, God loved every and each one of them. And he expected us to do like them and to love all these people. And the same way God gives them, the same way God gives us too. So, he expects us to give all these people and to take care of all these people. Let's examine one of the parables that Jesus gave. You know that the Bible talked about giving more than any other topic in the Bible? Giving the needy and take care of the needy more than any other topic in the entire Bible. So, this parable, you can find it now. Can you click? Okay, so the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, you all know it. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in hell, where he was in hell, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony. We all know this story. Why did the rich man go to hell? Was it because he lived in luxury every day, as the Bible said? I don't think so. Otherwise, all of us were going to be in hell because we do live in luxury. Was he in hell because he didn't give to the poor? He didn't give charity? I don't think so. The Bible never said that if you don't give charity, you will go to hell. But I think this man was in hell because of his injustice, not lack of charity. Because of his injustice. Because he had so much and he had over. But he didn't give the one who's outside, who is sick and who is thrown outside. All what he cared about, he was so selfish. He just focused on himself, on his life, on his pleasure. And forget about the people outside. Let me focus on myself, my family, my church, my country, whatever it is. But he forgot about the people who are outside. That's injustice. God couldn't bear that. So let's not become like this rich man. Just so focused on ourselves and on our selfishness and focus on ourselves and leave everything else. Let's see what happens around the world. Let me give you some accurate statistics. So, Here is the statistics. Do you know that 8,500 people die every day in Africa? Every day. So basically every month there is 150,000 people die in Africa. It's like the tsunami. Every month. Every month 150,000 people die. What's really bad about this, that 6,500 people die every single day because diseases that is preventable. Diseases that you and me can go to CVS and get a medicine and get well over that. 6,500 people die with that. I know some people are saying, so what do we do? Who cares about that? If you say that, then you're like the rich man. Let me care about myself. Let me take care of my family. Let me take care of my people. And then I don't know what to do to these people. Jesus ordered us to take care of these people. The disciples said exactly like this. Let the people go away and take care of themselves. Let someone else take care of that. That's exactly the same response that sent that man to hell. We don't want that. Jesus wants us to help these people. Why? Why he wants us to help them? Because when we help them, we will spread the word of God. Everybody will know that God is merciful and our God is the God they need to worship because of that. Imagine if Christians would take care of that. Most of the world will become Christians. God wants that. When God sent Joseph, that was the quiet time yesterday, to Egypt to save the entire world. So the entire world saved from hunger. People were dying and they came. And after they ate, they became slaves to Pharaoh. So when we feed these people, when we take care of them, even physically, these people will belong to God after that. They will say that God is a merciful God, is a good God, let's worship Him. But these people are offended of us Christians. You know that Christianity is the religion of the West. You know that? Christianity is the religion of the West. So think about the people in East and in Africa. Oh, the West, these are the Christians. These are the rich people sitting in their countries, driving big cars, eating very well, and us dying here, and they don't care. These are the Christians. That must change. Or else we bring shame on our God. God wants us to take care of them because when we do that, we resemble Him. We become like Him. We become in His image. That's what He wants. God wants us to be merciful like Him. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father in heaven is merciful. God shines His sun on the good and the evil. And we ought to serve the people, non-Christian and Christians. I know that this is not the mentality we're coming from. But believe me, our help should be to the people who are not Christians so they believe that our God is a real God, is a compassionate God. He's sending us to these people. Mission should be to all people, all colors, all religions, absolutely. I want to say even the people who are not Christians, even before the Christians. Christians are our responsibility no matter what. They are our brethren. But even the people from outside, there is something that we have to do with them. Jesus gave His life as a ransom. And we ought to give our lives as ransom also for many. So, what do we do? What does God expect from us? Number one, God wants us to live a modest life. And this word, I'm saying that to you, because this was God's message to me lately. God wants me and you to live a modest and simple life, away from luxury. I know that a lot of you want like this, but this is a fact. Can you click? Somehow we're not clicked. It's okay. So, actually, I was going to read for you the Pauline epistle that was read this morning. And this is the Pauline epistle. It says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment, that we're content, is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. You know that this is exactly the same word that Mr. Buffett said the other day. He said, I didn't bring this money. I brought this money from the society, and I will return the same money to the society. I never came out of my mother's womb with $44 billion, and I will not go to my grave with $44 billion. I will give this back. And having food, that's what St. Paul says, having food with clothing, with these we shall be content. Having food with clothing, with these we shall be content. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. God doesn't want us to take care of our needs and our luxury and forget about people. Even the fast, when God ordered us to fast, why is fast? What does God want from fast? What God is going to do with my fast? He said there in Isaiah 58, when he talked about fasting, he said, is this not the fast that I have chosen? What is the fast, Lord, you have chosen? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? Share your bread. So, instead of eating one loaf, you're going to fast and eat half and give the half. That's not sharing your income. That's even worse. That's sharing your food. That's why we eat less, in order to save and give and share that. That's not my words. These are God's words. That's what He wants us to do. And He promised very nice promises. If you read these verses, He promised a lot of nice promises if we do that. I'm afraid sometimes when we fast, we eat more luxurious food. And we do a lot and we take care of food even more. That's not what God wants. He wants us to cut down and to eat less. And to be hungry, to share the feeling of the hungry people. We did that in the church when the kids fasted 30 hours, called it 30 hours famine. They experienced what hunger is just for once in their life. And doing that, whatever they saved, they gave this money. Doesn't want us to eat this luxurious food outside. I know even the least things. People eat outside all the time very expensive food, not thinking about anything else. But every time we decide to live a luxurious life, at the same time we decide that other people in the world must die. The poverty is not there. The poverty is here. When I decide not to share, it's not God's fault. Mother Teresa said that. Poverty, God never made poverty. But we made poverty because we don't like to share. People can drive a car that's $50,000, $60,000. Same exact car. Could be $20,000 or $25,000. When I make that decision, do I consider other things or not? Do I consider that other people need to live and survive in the world or not? God wants us. He said, you give them something to eat. People are hungry, you give them something to eat. This is the commandment of the Bible today. People decide to live in palaces. That's fine. But also, in the same time, that's a decision that people will die every day because I don't want to share. I want to live a very comfortable life and a very luxurious life. Believe me, sometimes I think that we don't know what modesty is, what a simple life is. And sometimes we tend to imitate people around us. People drive these cars, I drive these cars. People eat in these restaurants, I do the same. People live in these houses, I do the same. That's not what God wants us to do. Goes on for clothing, for fun, for everything. Need to think about this. So, first thing is, to live modest life. And the second is, the commandment what we've heard today. Give them something to eat. I want to talk about giving. Very short words. Don't have a lot of time. When I say giving, a lot of people come to tithing. When you give your 10%. Sometimes we think when we give our 10%, we are giving. I have bad news for you. Tithing has nothing to do with giving. Has nothing to do with charity. That's why the Bible said it's called tithing. It's not called charity, and it's not called giving. When you pay your taxes, you say that you're giving anything to the government? No. The government is taking some of what it gives you in order to serve you, in order to build roads for you, in order to help you and support you. Tithe is not for the poor and for charity. Tithe is giving to God's house in order to be open for you, that you may have a church to worship in, that your kids may learn. You give tithing because it comes back to you, because it serves you in the end. Tithing is not for the poor. Tithing is not giving. Tithing is not charity. Tithing has nothing to do with mercy. And still some people are struggling to do that. Tithing is not giving. Giving, when you give 11%, then you start giving. When you give 12%, or when you give, like Buffett, 85% of your assets. He could have decided to leave this to his kids, his grandchildren. You know what? If I were him, I promise you, that's why God didn't give me the money. Give it to him, because he's a good man. If God gave me the $44 billion, I would think of buying a country. You know that you can buy a country? Of course. Could buy a country and become the king over the country. Isn't that nice? He didn't decide to do that. He gave away the money. You know why God allowed Mr. Gates to be the richest and Mr. Buffett and all these people to have money? Because he knew that they're going to return it back. It was safe with them. It was safer than me and you, believe it or not. I don't want to point fingers, but I'm saying me first. So, there is a difference between tithing is not giving, and charity. And both of them has nothing to do with mercy. When you see people are dying, have nothing to do about it. Don't even think about it. It's not in the back of our minds. That's what the disciples said. How can we feed 5,000 men plus women and children, 20,000 people? How can we do that? How can we cover all the needs in the world? That's exactly the word the disciples said. You said it's not your problem. But you have to care about these people. Don't let go. They told Jesus, let these people go. Let's get rid of them. It's not our responsibility. Let everyone take care of himself. Let every country, let someone else take care of that. No, it's not. So, God wants us also to be conscious about what other people in the world going through. As you know, as you've heard, last Friday, we had a big event here in the church, Friday night. We had something called Global Poverty Evening. Had the youth who went to the mission trips talk about the countries they visited, talked about poverty, what's going on in the world. And I promise you, it was shocking to me. Some of these statistics, I got it from there. I didn't know. And I didn't care. And they made us to stand in groups and pray for these people. And I discovered the sin that night that I didn't discover before in my life. That in my selfishness, I never prayed for these people before. Never prayed for the people who are dying every day. People who are sick around the world. Prayed for my church, my people, my family, and my country, and my Coptic church. I never prayed for these people. Because I didn't care. But God wants me and you to care. What I'm talking to you about now is a vision that God has been giving to us in this church. You've heard about so many mission trips going on. And I know some of you say, what are these crazy things? Why do we go and care about people in the other end of the world? Why don't we take care of ourselves and our people and our lost kids and our needs here? That's exactly what the rich man said. And it brought him to hell. And we don't want to do that. I promise you, you're going to see a lot of things going on that's global. Here from this church, God asked us to do that. What I'm telling you today is not a sermon. It's a vision for us. We have been doing that, and we will continue to do that. But I hope that you are with us on the same page. And you, none of you become like the rich man, say, I don't care. I have problems. Why don't I take care of my problems first? Well, you can go ahead and do that. But I have bad news for you, that your problems will never end because we're so focused on them. I want you to take some time when you pay your bills. Think about other people who are dying. Do something for them. When you hear there's something going on, I would like for you to join such things. You will never, ever be able to know what poverty is and what hunger is until you go by yourself and see these people. For the longest time, I was invited to go to Africa and to go to Mexico and to go other countries, but I refused because I would like to stay here in my comfort zone and take care of my service and my church. But since I went to Africa, this has changed. God wants us to go out and search for these people and help them out. And you will be surprised by how little of the fragments of what we have can help and support other people. We're still struggling if should we pay the tithe or we don't have money for that. Because I decide to live in luxury. We must engage in activities to help these people. You can help these people while you're here. You don't have to travel. It will be great if you travel and get out of your comfort zone. These kids who went to the mission trips, they actually are going to talk to you. Two Sundays, not this Sunday, Sunday after. We have something called CIA Sunday. We're not bringing the CIA in or anything, but it's Cops in Action Sunday. We'll have only one liturgy. And we will have all the people who went to mission trips these past couple of months. Have a lot of people went to mission trips. Give you some idea about what they went through and their experience. None of them came the same. And hopefully this will encourage every and each one of you to do something like this. This is our vision. God wants to send us. God wants us to help. God said, you give them something to eat. So whenever you hear something like this, react. React. And listen and hear what's going on. Because one day, we're going to stand before the Lord. And we're going to hear one of these two sentences. Either the beginning or the end. Either we'll listen to, good and wonderful job, faithful servant. Because I was hungry, you fed me. I was in prison and you visited me. I was sick, you did great things to me. And you visited me and you cared for me. Come to the pleasure of your father. Or we're going to hear, get away from me. Get away from me because I was hungry and you were enjoying your food in front of the big screen TV in your air-conditioned nice house and you didn't care about me. One day we will listen. These are not my words. These are God's words. He's going to ask us one day. If you're going to attest, you would like to know what are the questions. Here is the question that every one of us will be asked. When I was hungry, did you feed me? If you're going to say, I paid my tithe regularly, God will send some people to get Mr. Gates and Mr. Warren and Mr. Bono from their palaces. Come here. Tell them what you did. Said, I give 85%. Another one said, I give 90%. Someone says, I give everything. And I'm standing in tears because I was struggling to pay my 10%, thinking that this is charity. One day, we will be asked this question. And let's learn from the smartest people in the world, what they're doing. Maybe it's not worth it. After doing all of this, they thought that working in Africa is better than working in Microsoft. A lot of us here would love to work in Microsoft. The CEO of Microsoft doesn't care about working there. He cares about going to Africa, helping people. He said it's more enjoyable, more pleasurable. Why don't we take the end of the result instead of trying to build another Microsoft? And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.